Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a end zone cut. Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Schmunk. I'm joined by Lance Meadow. NFL free agency, the first full day of the new league year underway, and boy, has it been busy. And I know there's a lot of rumors and reports out there about potential moves the Giants could be making. All we'll say about that is the Giants have not made anything official yet. Nothing is done, and until the Giants announce it, that is the situation we're dealing with right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on, Giants.com. I'm getting all choked up about
activity,
all these moves.
It's understandable.
I know. So here's, you know, Lance, it's crazy, you know, less than 24 hours here as the NFL opens up their league year. And you expected a lot of free agent signings, right? You never expect the amount of trades that we've seen since the league year started at 4 o'clock. And frankly, a lot of trades. That, you know, some of the insiders, Adam Schefter said he heard rumblings about some of these. But we heard nothing about a potential Jimmy Graham trade. We heard nothing about a Haloti Ngata trade until it happened. We heard nothing. Well, we knew Foles maybe was on the trade market, but we never heard Sam Bradford being moved by anybody.
Well, the Rams had sort of alluded to the fact they would try to keep him.
So, a very, very busy first half day of NFL free agency.
As you mentioned, a number of big names. That's what's really unheard of about all these trades, John. It's one thing to have trades here or there where you add or delete complimentary players, but a number of superstars, big-time names, were moved yesterday. And in terms of how it impacts the NFC East, obviously the Eagles, unlike some of the other teams in the division, have been extremely active. LeSean McCoy traded to the Buffalo Bills, and now Nick Foles switched for Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford missed last season due to some injuries. He's been plagued by injuries during the course of his career. The biggest speculation right now is, will they keep Sam Bradford? Will they move him? Is he the quarterback of the future, given what it takes to put together a Chip Kelly type of offense?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting, and a lot of people are going after Chip Kelly pretty hard here. I think right now, the sharks are in the water for Chip Kelly. He's making a lot of changes. You know, DeSean Jackson left last year. Now, no Jeremy Maclin. Nick Foles now gone. LeSean McCoy gone. I mean, that's the core of their offense during those, you know, end of the Andy Reid era, start of the Chip Kelly era. And I'm sure Eagle fans aren't exactly thrilled, but Chip Kelly is building this team the way he wants to build it. And it's still an unfinished product right now, and they're still figuring out exactly what it's going to look like. We can break down some of the moves specifically. I think they overpaid a little bit for Maxwell in the secondary. You know, usually you do for the top cornerback on the market. And as someone pointed out, he was the fourth best player in that secondary. So how good is he going to be out of that group? I think we'll have to wait and see. The move to me that's the most interesting is the Foles-Bradford trade. And what's interesting to me about it is not that necessarily the Eagles decide to go with Sam Bradford, because I'm a Bradford fan. I actually happen to think, if healthy, he's a pretty darn good quarterback, and I think he's going to have a lot of success, if healthy, in Philadelphia. What I question is the fact that the Eagles had to surrender a 2 and a 4 in that deal to get Bradford. Now, they're going to get a fifth back and then maybe a fourth or a third, depending on performance.
There's some conditions in terms of his injuries.
Injuries, how many games he plays and starts, things like that. But to give up a number two, to get a guy that hasn't played in 2 years because of an injury on the final year of his contract, plus you're sending them their starting quarterback, that's a high price.
Well, and it's a big risk that you're absorbing, too.
Absolutely.
Given the fact that Sam Bradford has not been able to stay healthy and play 16 games during the course of his very small sample size of a career. The intrigue, though, John, is the fact that he is reuniting with Pat Shurmur, who was his offensive coordinator with the St. Louis Rams. So there's history between both of those fellas, and he had a great rookie campaign when he was with Pat Shurmur. So there's upside from that perspective. And right now, I guess on the surface, they feel he's a better fit than Nick Foles for Chip Kelly's offense. But like any quarterback in this league, and you could say it about any team, you need to surround that quarterback with talent. And they did lose Jeremy Maclin, or at least there's speculation at this point that he may sign with Kansas City.
That isn't official
yet?
That
is not official, okay. The last time we heard. So right now it's just pure speculation. If that is to go forward, you wonder who's Philadelphia going to bring in perhaps at the wide receiver position.
And another move that I don't believe is official yet, but there were reports this morning that Walter Thurman has come to terms with the Eagles. That not official as well. We stress that. And, you know, again, the Eagles are going to look like a very different team next year. And now there are rumors going on last night that they might be potentially in on DeMarco Murray. But that hasn't really come to fruition yet. In fact, we haven't heard of any one big offer for DeMarco Murray, probably the biggest free agent left on the market so far, which I thought was interesting as well. Another trade that I thought, Lance, was extremely interesting was Jimmy Graham getting moved from the Saints to the Seahawks. The Saints also sending a fourth-round pick to Seattle. Seattle sending back Max Unger, their starting center, and the 31st overall pick in this year's draft, the Seahawks' first-round pick. And look, last year, the Saints knew that they were going to get into some salary cap issues with the Drew Brees contract, with the Jimmy Graham contract, and they were going to go for it last year, and that's why last year's record was so disappointing for them. They didn't make it into the playoffs, and they obviously struggled for much of the year, and now they're paying the piper a little bit, and that's when fans call up, well, I want to sign this guy, I want to sign that guy, this guy's great, this guy's great. You could run into a situation like the Saints are in right now where you have to trade one of your best players just because of the salary cap.
Well, if you recall, last offseason at this time, they made a huge splash on the defensive side of things, John. They signed Jarris Byrd, one of the top safeties on the market.
Absolutely.
Who's with the Buffalo Bills.
Great point.
That contract, obviously, was fairly hefty. So, as a result, you don't nearly have as much wiggle room as you would like. And Mickey Loomis, the Saints GM, actually was on SiriusXM NFL Radio last night. And one of the things that he commented on as to why they gave up Jimmy Graham, he said, you know, listen, we're at the point where we don't have a great deal of flexibility and we want to address the defense. We need to spend some money on that side to make sure we're a more balanced team. So, you know, that was the rationale in terms of their thinking. What Jimmy Graham's going to do for Russell Wilson, that's a nice security blanket, John.
That's not a security blanket.
Well,
that is
a
number
blanket.
One weapon. That's what that
Correct.
Is.
Correct. But this is a team that hasn't relied on a great deal of wide receivers while Wilson has been under center. So, you know, they're going to probably lean very heavily on the tight end position in addition to their running game. And on the flip side, you give up Max Unger. Max Unger missed the majority of last season, the center for the Seahawks, and they had a number of backups who they had brought in to help fill in that void. So from a transitional standpoint, I don't think it's a bad move for Seattle, considering there's other offensive linemen on that team who have had plenty of experience.
And I wonder how this might affect the Seahawks running game now. I know Unger wasn't here for much of this year, but he was a big part of the running game before this year. And Jimmy Graham not known as the best blocking tight end in the world either.
Yeah.
So something to keep an eye on there. Two other big pieces of news that I was shocked by. Jake Locker, fine, he retires. But Jason Worlds ends up retiring at age 27 in line for a pretty big contract. I mean, he was going to get a nice signing bonus. Why not get the signing bonus, play for 2 years, and then, you know, turn in your papers? But you know what? He wants to, you know, protect his body for the future. It's the best thing for him. It's what's going to make him happy. God bless him. But I've never seen a guy going into free agency, you know, primed to make a ton of money, decide to retire. That's a new one.
Well, there were three players. You could add Patrick Willis to the mix, too, from the San Francisco 49ers.
He's
a little bit older,
and he had some injuries, and that was a part of the reason for that.
But Jake Locker and Jason Worlds, two young players, part of it may have been just there's other things they want to look into aside from the game of football. But in addition to all the trades, as you mentioned, John, those were certainly some surprising developments, considering Worlds is one of the top defensive players in the NFL, and there was a lot of speculation that there was going to be a great deal of interest on the free agent market, or at least he'd return to Pittsburgh, and instead he's hanging up the jersey, as is Jake Locker, who's also, like Patrick Willis, has had to deal with his fair share of injuries since he was drafted out of Washington.
You don't necessarily think of a quarterback as a position that takes a lot of hits and, you know, gets beat up a lot and, you know, have a lot of attrition there, but Jake Locker has had injury issues. You've mentioned that. And it's a great point. He's missed a lot of games, and I guess he decided it was just time to move on.
Well, and if he was going to come back, he clearly would have been the backup, because it looks like they're moving forward
Absolutely.
With Zach Mettenberger, who is their young up-and-coming prospect.
Anything else jump out at you over the last 24 hours that you want to hit on?
I think we may have covered just about every transaction across the NFL landscape. I was just impressed with how many trades took place, and this is a very exciting team for football fans in general, John, because it's the start of the new league year. Teams are going to start to round out their rosters, look for improvements, and there's obviously a lot of chatter. It's funny, when we look at the season ending, especially from the Giants' perspective, and you say to yourselves, oh, there's such a long offseason, before you know it, John, this NFL offseason moves so quickly, because you have free agency,
you're gonna
then
blink,
you have
the draft.
Exactly, and before you know it, training camp is going to be here in OTAs.
You're getting Paul DiTino very excited somewhere.
Apparently, yes. Maybe I should calm down myself a little bit.
One other big contact we should mention, and this isn't official yet either, I don't think, but it was on the back pages of all the papers. Darrell Revis heading back to the Jets,
yeah.
Which means this year we could have a Darrell Revis-Odell Beckham Jr. matchup. That's going to be exciting. That's going to be fun.
That will be intriguing to watch. The Jets also, we should mention, added Buster Screen, from the Cleveland Browns. So they have addressed two of their biggest needs, being the corner position.
And there's heavy rumors this morning that they're also trying to bring back Antonio Cromartie,
who was with the Cardinals last season with Todd Bowles. So it seems as if a lot of people are heading back to their old stomping grounds. Clearly the Jets needed to address the back end of their defense, as they did struggle in that category last season.
All right. Let's get to the phone calls, Mr. Meadow. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat if you want to interact with us on Twitter. Let's start with Mike in Brooklyn first. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I've been listening to your show, and I have a few questions for you. We spoke before, this the dentist guy.
Okay. Hey, Mike. How are you, pal?
I'm going to ask one thing that they keep asking in the Giants Chat thing.
Okay.
First of all, this is the New York Giants station, right? You guys do all New York Giants?
This is Giants.com. That's correct, Mike.
Yes. Then why the hell are you doing all other teams?
Well, because Mike, I can tell you.
Let's start the show
Mike,
with
listen
Giants.
To me. Mike, listen to me, and I'll tell you why. Those Giants signings that you're talking about are not official. The Giants haven't announced them. By the fact that I'm an employee of the team, I am not allowed to talk about those signings because they're not official yet. No ink is on any contracts yet. That's why.
How about saying unofficial signings? Because I'm reading you guys here and everybody's saying breaking news.
Mike, I'm
why
telling
you,
Mike,
the Giants?
Mike, I'm telling you what I'm allowed
to
do and what I'm not.
I'm doing it for them. The other question is, I want you to do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
You're usually doing the show. I want you to hold up both your wrists. I want to see what kind of watch you're wearing.
I don't
because
wear a watch, Mike.
You guys, I figured as much because you guys never start on time.
All right, Mike.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for starting off the program on a very high note.
Very productive. Let's go back to the phone. Say what's up to Ernest in Connecticut. Ernest, what's going on?
Hello there, guys. How's everything going this morning?
How you doing, Ernest?
Doing well, Ernest. What you got?
Okay. What I want to ask you is two questions. You know, we spoke earlier in the year about the running backs, and I'm very happy with the Giants signing Green. Well, you say he's not signed yet, but I'm very happy, with that pick. But there's two things that's really puzzling me. Number one, why did they re-sign Ogletree? I don't know why they even signed him. And number two, why aren't they bringing back Roll as a safety? Has a decent pace. I just don't understand that there is no really good safeties out there. He's probably better than all the safeties out there at 32. He's a durable safety. He's very committed to the team. He's the captain of the team. Why aren't they bringing him back? I'm very frustrated with that after this point.
Well, Ernest, Ancho Roll is still a free agent. He isn't signed anywhere yet. How do you know he's not going to be back?
Well, I'm just, it doesn't look that way because they haven't spoke with him. You know, from what I've been reading is that they have not spoken with him during the off season, during the end of the off season or anything. There is no talk at all.
Ernest, I will say this. I would say be very careful about what you read in the papers, because a lot of times what's read in the papers and what's said on the radio is oftentimes inaccurate. And just because it's not being reported doesn't mean it's not happening.
And Ernest, to add to that, we let off the show talking about all the movement across the NFL landscape. There was no talk about Jimmy Graham being moved.
No.
There was no talk about Sam Bradford going to the Eagles. So, you know, surprises do happen. I think you always need to keep that in mind. With respect to Kevin Ogletree, which was your first comment, you know, depth is important in the National Football League, and the Giants dealt with their fair share of injuries last season. And to bring back a guy who's familiar with the system, can add additional competition at the wide receiver spot, that is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, but they have some good wide receivers. I mean, you know, they have some guys that need to be developed. I mean, you know, they have, what's his name, the tall guy?
Corey Washington, you're referring to.
The young Washington.
Yeah.
They need to develop him. They had the slot receiver last year. he's been all well, you know, did pretty good.
Well, so Ernest, keep in mind, I didn't mean to cut you off, keep in mind, rosters expand as you get into the offseason. So, you know, you're not at the 53 limit. So it doesn't hurt if you have an additional wide receiver or two, because like I said, it helps foster competition so that you hone down your 53-man roster and you find the best 53 players that are going to go out there and compete and help you win games every weekend.
Yeah, but I don't think that he's going to do that. I think you can probably
that's a game of speculation at this point.
I think you could probably save that money and probably help bring in a better defensive lineman or either offensive lineman or either either payroll or something of that nature. I mean, I don't think Ogletree is a good fit at this time. He's not that productive, you know, and you have young receivers coming in, and then you have the draft coming in.
Yeah, but But Ernest, all Ogletree's going to do is compete for a spot. I mean, yeah. I'm not telling you that he's going to be in here. He's going to play 30, 40 snaps a game right now. He's here to compete for a roster spot. Do you know how many guys you have in here in the summer to compete for roster spots? Like 100. I mean, and only, you know, you finish with your 53-man roster in the practice squad, a lot of guys aren't going to make it. Some guys will. And he'll just be here to compete along with everybody else. There's nothing wrong with that. Ogletree is an NFL player. He's been on a lot of NFL teams.
Well, yeah, I understand that.
All right, Ernest, thanks, pal.
And Ernest, it's very early in the free agency period.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you say the Giants have other areas, I mean, who knows who they're going to sign, who they're going to bring in. It's so early in the game. We're one day into the new league year, and already we're starting to discuss, you know, that there's not enough flexibility. We've got plenty of time in this offseason.
Absolutely. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phone calls and say what's up to Derek in Atlanta. Derek, you're up next. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon. Good morning. Well, good afternoon now.
How you doing, Derek?
Guys.
What's happening, Derek?
I'm good. Hey, Lance. I don't know how to talk about this since you guys really can't really talk about it, but hypothetically, if we would bring in, we have some people that had signed. It looks like the Giants will go in a direction of filling one of the biggest needs is the special teams. I see a lot of 4-5 guys in their future on this roster. And I think mostly geared towards the special teams. I don't know if that's a bad strategy. It's not overwhelming considering what some of the other teams are doing, but it does have to be addressed, and maybe they use free agency to work on the draft to work on their defense.
Hey, look, I think you make some good points, Derek, and I think two of the things that Giant fans have always talked to us about that they wanted improved was special teams, for one, the return game, another, and a lot of fans out there did not want Odell Beckham Jr., to be a return guy anymore. So you want to try to find a replacement for him because you don't want to get him hurt on special teams. I think he's young. I think he can do it, whatever. And you want to improve your depth places. And I think, you know, those are all areas of need for the Giants. And, you know, we'll see if they end up addressing them.
Yeah. So question, hypothetically, if the Giants spend $55,000, $55 million in free agency, would they have any more cap space?
Well, it all depends on how the contracts are put together. I mean, you don't know what the cap numbers are in year one. Until those details are out there, it's honestly very hard to tell, Derek. It really is.
Okay. And do you think under the cap currently we could bring in someone like a Terrence Knighton?
You know, Terrence Knighton's one of the big names that's still out there, big old pot roast. And a lot of people thought he would be one of the first guys gone. He's a big run stopper. He's a good athlete. He's big-bodied. And he's not going to go back to Denver if the reports out there are true. And, you know, he's a guy that has a lot of size, but I still think he's going to get a pretty big contract out there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we can see him as a Giant still. But last comment I'll make, and I'll talk to you guys later, is that guy Jason Wells, man, they need to figure out what's going on with him, man. He's a five-year vet and got 25 and a half sacks, and he's playing. He was playing well. I don't know what's up with him, but I would have liked to see him in blue. So, you know, sad that he retired, but something's not right with that. 27-year-old retired that's about to make a bunch of money. But I'll talk to you guys later, and I'll listen to the rest of your show.
All right, Derek. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks for the call.
I'll bring up another player because, you know, sometimes we've seen football players retire and then they come back. The Cowboys with Rolando McClain, who is going to be a free agent. Listen, he stepped away at a very young age, John. He came back and he had a very good productive season with the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, right now they're stepping away from the game. For all we know, 2-3 years down the later, they could very well change their minds.
And the funny thing about it, and I think what happens, and this is just speculation on my part, that these guys, and look, good for Jason Worlds if this works out. It's the right move for him. God bless him. Best of luck. I hope he has, you know, a great life after football. But I think what happens a lot of times is that guys make a decision like that. And McClain, mostly because of off-the-field issues, I think, ended up making that decision. Then all of a sudden, a year or two later, you don't have those game checks coming in. You look at the bank account and you're like, you know, that NFL, they paid pretty well, didn't they?
It's an attractive option.
They paid pretty darn well. You don't can't quite get that type of money going to work at the, you know, Nordstrom's or even like working as a professor or, you know, doing something like that. You know, not everyone's throwing out 7-figure deals.
No, not at all.
So I think that's what eventually draws some of these guys back to the NFL.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the players who did retire, as we mentioned off the top of the show, were banged up with injuries. Sometimes you need to step away from the game, get fully healed, feel rejuvenated, and then you're ready to get back on the football field.
201-939-4513. Let's hang out and stick on the busy phone and say what's up to Latrell from Miami next. Latrell, what's going on?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, Latrell. What's up, pal?
Good. I just wanted to talk about Greg Hardy. I wanted to know, do you think Giants actually go after him? Because, honestly, like I've been stressing all last year and the year before, we need pass rush. I've been stressing pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. And honestly, I'm scared that if we don't get the right amount of pass rushing, Spags might fail, you know, because we all know how his defense is based. His defense is based off his pass rush. And, you know, I'm thinking about Greg Hardy. He's still out there. I mean, you know, yes, he might get suspended for about the first four games. But, I mean, you know, we have some guys there. He could come in and help out this defensive line tremendously. I mean, that would help out a lot. What do you think?
Well, I think it really depends at the end of the day, Latrell, how much a player like that is going to demand on the open market. You know, he's a name player. You're talking about the defensive end from the Carolina Panthers who is a free agent. And, you know, it really comes down to money. As we were talking earlier, you have a salary cap that you need to work within. And you don't want to necessarily dedicate all of your funds to one position or one player. You know, it's a very difficult balancing act when it comes to life of the NFL, especially for management. So a player like that, I think it really comes down to what is his market value. And I haven't heard much chatter on that front in terms of visits or teams that may be talking with him. But, you know, as more and more players are taken off the market, you would assume there would be probably more appeal and more interest surrounding his name. But with respect to the Giants, it's a guessing game, and it really comes down to how much that player would demand on the open market.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, thank you.
You got it, Latrell. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
201-939-4513. And, you know, price point's the key here, Lance, because as you break down these deals, and I've made this point the last couple of days, it's not always the best idea to just get the best player. And look, you have to get the best players, I understand all that. But you want to get the best players at the best numbers. You have X number of dollars, in the NFL's case, $143 million, to spend to bring in as many players. And the way you get the best team together, it's to make every one of those dollars, you know, combine and put together to get the most talent. So I'd rather have the $4 million player and pay him only two, then pay a $6 million payer 10, because you want to get as much value for each dollar that you spend.
Well, and on top of that, John, let's not overlook the value of the draft. And you're going to have the draft a little bit later on this year where the Giants are going to have their very fair share of picks at young talent to bring in and help round out the roster, and those players are going to be on rookie contracts, which makes them extremely valuable because you don't have to necessarily break open the piggy bank since it's so structured in the NFL. And the Giants are coming off a draft which was extremely impressive. They had a great deal of depth. They had a number of guys that had experience due to injuries. Now, I keep referencing Devon Kennard time and time again. That's fifth round value, and he flourished with his opportunities, whether it be on special teams or as a linebacker who was thrown into the mix due to injuries to some other players. And we know about Odell Beckham, Andre Williams, a fourth round pick. He got starting experience. If the Giants can repeat that success again this season, you know, that helps also save some flexibility with respect to the cap.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Terrence in Plainsfield. Terrence is up next. What's going on, Terrence?
All right, quick question. How much of that cap space do we have towards the draft picks and basically draft picks?
From what I understand, Terrence, the draft picks generally take up anywhere between, I think the way it's slotted, I think around $6 million of cap space, if what I've read is correct.
All right, so basically we don't have that much to spend on any more free agents.
Well, again, it depends how a lot of these contracts are structured. And again, the Giants, you know, haven't officially done anything yet. So until those, you know, official contracts are done and we see what they look like, no one's going to know how much cap space there is left. All you have out there is what the media has. No official contracts have been submitted anywhere. So there's really no way to know exactly how big the first year numbers on any, you know, potential free agent contracts are in that first year.
So do you think, like, all right, we sign Antrell Robeck if he wants to come back, or do we, you know, look for a younger safety if we have enough money being that just basically because of what we did in free agency now?
Well, Terrence, I'll say this. I do think it's imperative for there to be a veteran experience with some level of playing and starting experience to come in here this year. Because right now, the only guys having your roster are Cooper Taylor, who's been hurt a ton, hasn't played a whole lot. And then you have Nat Burhey, who's only in his second year, had played mostly specials last year, didn't play a ton of safety. So I do think it's important to get somebody back at that safety spot to help organize that secondary and be a leader back there. Steve Spagnuolo had a guy like that, and James Butler, when he was here the first time, a great job at setting up the secondary and being that cerebral guy back there. So whether that's Anshar Roll, and who knows if it is, whether that's a young veteran that's only 26 or 27 but has a couple years of starting experience, that's fine too. But I do think at some point you'll see somebody arrive here that has started games in the NFL at safety to lend a hand and do a good job at that position.
All right, thanks, man.
I appreciate it. And that doesn't preclude them from bringing in young guys either to help develop alongside Burhey and Taylor. They have two young guys on their contract already, but there's nothing wrong with bringing more of those guys in to get them ready.
Oh, look at the Green Bay Packers. They drafted Ha-Ha Clinton Dix last season, and he developed into a starter. So
absolutely,
it wouldn't be the first team that would perhaps address that position, whether it be via youth or whether, like you alluded to, John, it be a veteran player. I think it's a position to watch, and Giants fans certainly aware of the free agents. You look at Stevie Brown's a free agent, Quinton Dempsey's a free agent, and Antrell Roll. So, you know, from a numbers game, when you're trying to round out your roster, you would assume it's a position that the Giants are certainly going to keep close tabs on.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Christian on Long Island next. Christian, what's going on?
Hey, John and Lance, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, Christian. Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I just wanted to have two questions.
Yes,
I wanted to know if you think that any of these free agents that have been unofficially signed will affect the draft moves that we make.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think in general, free agency is going to affect what you do in the draft. If you stock up at a certain position in free agency, you don't want to, you know, double load those players in the draft. And, you know, Jerry Reese has said in the past that, you know, you want your first, second, and third round picks to be starters. So you don't want to draft somebody in the first round at a spot where you have starters fully entrenched and there's not going to be any room for them to get playing time. That's not something you want to do. So, yes, I think, you know, depending on what goes down and what type of players are here, and you have guys that you know or believe are going to have significant snaps at a certain position, I think that could potentially affect what you end up doing in the draft. Absolutely.
All right, and I wanted to know, who are some of the names that are still available that can make an immediate impact or be a starter that you feel could fit well with the Giants?
In free agency you're talking about?
Yes.
All right, that's a good question. And there aren't a ton of big names left. I saw Brian Bulaga actually tweet out on his Twitter account earlier this morning that he's going back to Green Bay. So that's another offensive lineman off the board. And that's most of the top offensive linemen now that either have officially agreed to or have been reported to agree to contracts. Anshar Roll's out there, still a free agent. Ron Parker's still a free agent.
Raheem Moore, I believe, is still a free agent from Denver.
There's a lot of running backs still out there. C.J. Spiller's still out there. Justin Forsett has not signed anywhere yet. Obviously, DeMarco Murray has not signed anywhere yet. You got the wide receiver list there?
Yeah, I have the wide receiver up.
Andre Johnson is rumored to go to the Colts, but that is not done yet. Percy Harvin was let go by the Jets. Stevie Johnson was let go. Michael Crabtree's out there if you want to talk about some of the wide receivers. You roll down that list a little bit at tight end. You still have Jermaine Gresham, who hasn't signed anywhere. Charles Clay has been transition tagged. Rumors are that some teams are considering putting offers on there.
Buffalo is one of those teams that has been rumored.
Exactly. Rob Housler, a name from Arizona, a young tight end that some people talk about. On the defensive side of the ball, I think Terrence Knighton was a name that was brought up earlier today by a caller. He's still out there. In the secondary, Antonio Cromartie, the cornerback, hasn't signed anywhere yet. Nick Fairley is still out there. Dan Williams has been rumored to be going somewhere. Henry Melton has not been signed by anybody. Brandon Spikes, a young linebacker, is still available. So there are still a number of guys on defense that are out there that can come in there, help your team. Tremont Williams, a young veteran, used to be with the Packers, is still out there. So there are a number of guys out there that can still be brought in and help your team. Just because a guy, you know, Christian, is not in that first round of free agents that goes for big money doesn't mean they can't come in and help your team at some point.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely hoping for Raheem Moore or Ron Parks. I know we need safety help. I mean, I would love rollback, but I hope it's not true what I saw with him going to the Bears.
Well, right now, just a lot of speculation out there, Christian, and I appreciate the phone call.
Thanks so much
for weighing in. As we mentioned, you know, safety position is a big topic of discussion, mainly because there's a number of free agents at that position with respect to the Giants. But as to whether or not they're going to bring back some of those players, they're going to look elsewhere, once again, there's no definitive answer on that front. Everything out there is purely speculation, purely reports. You know, John and I just ran through some of the safeties that are on the market, and there's a mixture of some veterans. There's also a mixture of players that are young and perhaps are looking for opportunities to get to another team and maybe get to that starting type of caliber play. I think when it comes to rounding out your roster, you know, you need a mixture of both. And the Giants have a track record, John, too, of, you know, even taking undrafted players and allowing them to thrive in this system. So there are so many different ways to round out your roster and look for ways to improve. And I think that the Giants have done it through the draft. They have signed players who were not drafted, and they've also brought in free agents. Last season, they did a mixture of both. They brought in some free agents, but they also had a great deal of depth in terms of that 2014 rookie class, and I'm sure they're going to look to do the same thing again this offseason.
Tweet coming in from at JCS2008, how can Drew Brees be shocked by the Graham trade? You can't give two offensive players $30 to $35 million. Well, and, you know, we talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show, Lance, when I had Paul here. And, you know, a fan called up and was angry that they couldn't figure out a way to bring in Ndamukong Suh. And I talked about how, you know, with between Eli Manning's contract, Sue's contract, and then JPP's franchise tag, you're looking at, you know, $50 to $60 million tied up in three guys. And one of our good tweeters, I think it's BK Base, tweeted in, well, you know, the Lions last year were one game away from the NFC Championship game, and they paid Matthew Stafford a lot of money, Sue a lot of money, and Calvin Johnson a lot of money. So that was actually a fairly good example of a team that was able to put big money into three guys, though now Sue's no longer there, keep in mind. I don't know what Matthew Stafford's cap number was last year. That, you know, you can win by, you know, top-loading your roster like that. But I think it can be hard. You have to be careful to make sure you have enough money to go around to surround your stars with a good enough supporting cast to win games. I mean, look at the Saints. I mean, how many playoff wins has Drew Brees had the last few years? Not a whole lot, because the guys around them haven't played as well, and there's not as much talent.
Well, going back to your Lions example, keep in mind, Detroit has not gotten into the playoffs consistently either.
No, last year was the first year with the new coach, right?
And they were ousted in the first round to the Dallas Cowboys. So when you take that into consideration, I mean, it's hard enough to get to the playoffs, but I don't know if there's that track record in place, John, where I would say, you know, they were able to work around all three of those contracts. Remember, their defense had some struggles prior to them making the playoffs. That's why they changed defensive coordinators. They brought in a new head coach. So, you know, there have been documented evidence out there that has shown it's been a little bit up and down with all three of those contracts on the table for the Detroit Lions.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll get to some more of your tweets. Seek sending in the hashtag Giants Chat. Johnny Mack's doing a good job getting them into our feed here. We'll read them as we go along. Greg is down in Washington, D.C. Greg, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, John? How you doing, Lance?
Doing well. How's well, Greg. How are you, pal?
I'm doing great. Hey, I'll try and make it quick. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener, huge Giants fan.
Thank you, bud.
Yeah, I actually got to go in their locker room when I was a little kid in training camp and meet Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor and get pictures with them all and everything. So.
Well, you know what, Greg? As long as you had a chance to get a picture with Paul DiTino, I'm sure your childhood was
complete. Yeah, Paul. Yeah, I wish. I didn't quite get to meet him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Anyway,
well, it's not too late to send in some fan mail, though. He may be able to get you an autograph.
Yeah,
you
know, I guarantee you. Yeah, Greg,
if
you mail to me at the Giants a picture of Paul DiTino, I will make sure he signs it and send it back to you.
Yes,
that's not a problem. Happy to help.
I will do that. I'll put it on my Giants wall, you know, my shrine.
You
I got, you know, 15 jerseys up there and everything.
So we'll add it up to our wall here, too.
Exactly.
So that's why.
All right, well, Craig, what do you got?
But anyway, yeah, I wanted to call. I know, like that first caller, he was a little off today. Wasn't very kind, but I know you're not allowed to talk about it and everything. But I hear that. You know, there's somewhere around $55 million that the Giants are sort of talking about. You know, you hear Shane Vereen, and my dad and I always talk about linebackers. You know, ever since we lost Boley and we lost Pierce, just never seemed like we had those, you know, those good linebackers. I do like Beeson. You know, I hope he can stay healthy. But I did hear that we're looking up and we're signing two, Jonathan Casales and JT Thomas. I also heard about the, you know, Shane Vereen and Dwayne Harris, which would be great because I haven't seen a kick returner since Dominic Hixon. And those are just a few names I've heard. I know you guys can't talk about them.
Well, Greg, you know what? Well, Greg, I'll say this, and again, no signings have been official, so we can't talk about as a member of the Giants. But look, they're still right now free agents, all those players you mentioned. And in terms of players, Shane Vereen is a football player, is an excellent football player. He helped the Patriots.
Oh, yeah.
He helped the Patriots win a Super Bowl last year. He was big as a receiver in that Super Bowl. He did an excellent, excellent job catching the football, and I think he can fill a very nice, specific role on whatever team he winds up on in terms of being a receiver out of the backfield. He can complement, you know, a backfield that could have some big bruising backs that get some tough yards, and he can be a big help to any team. And one thing we did talk about too, Greg, and you mentioned in your call, and I think it was a very astute point, John Beeson, as good as he is when he's healthy, simply cannot stay on the field consistently enough. And I think it was very important for the Giants to get insurance for him at some point this offseason to make sure if he does get injured again, you have somebody that can step in and do that good job of playing that middle linebacker spot, and ideally the free agents that I want to bring in are the guys that are the young veterans. They're just off their rookie contract. They're 26, they're 27, they're 25, and if those are the type of guys you target that are coming in and help your team, that are young, that are athletic, that can help on specials, provide depth on Beeson, I think those are the type of signings that can really help a football team win games.
Yeah, I agree. One more thing real quick. You know, I also, Jameel McClain, I love that guy. I thought he did a great job. I don't know if he got all the respect from people who don't really know, but he was playing all different positions, covering for people when they're hurt. And, you know, he was playing out of position. He did a great job for us. I'm glad we had him on a two-year deal, and he's a good voice in the locker room, so I'm glad he's back. But, you know, tight end, that's the one last thing I want to talk about. You know, there's some names I see in the draft, but one name I don't hear ranked very highly is that cat from Florida State, Nick O'Leary. You know, number 35, he doesn't wear gloves, he's a blue-collar type of guy. I actually heard his grandfather is that golfer, Jack Nicholson or something. But
correct.
I always liked that kid, and I thought he was good. I don't know where, you know, he's ranked on, you know, Kuiper's big board and everything, but I just feel, you know, since, you know, we haven't had a great tight end in a few years, I do like Donnell. He needs to work on his blocking. I mean, I got two dogs, two boxers, and one of them's named Shockey. He's 10 years old. So I'm a big tight end fan, but hopefully we can get one and then we can address that in the draft. And I got a good feeling about this year. I'm a little disappointed to lose Walter Thurman, but it is what it is, and I think the Giants are going to have a great year. I want to thank you guys for taking my call. I've been a long-time listener, and I love the show.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Up here in Redskins land, you know, I get harassed all the time. So.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate the phone call.
And we have another member of our D.C. area Giants fan fraternity now.
Correct. A lot of people in that Maryland,
Virginia,
D.C.
Maryland,
area.
Virginia, Maryland,
Shakes, and all of his friends.
Steve, all those guys, man.
Yes.
Don't forget Steve.
That's
he'll get very upset at you.
Well,
I'll take the criticism then.
Haven't heard from Steve. He's been pretty quiet on Twitter.
Like, yeah. You know, he actually tweeted out to me late last night a couple times.
Okay.
Steve. Yeah.
I see. All right. So you're in
Papa
one
Smurf.
Zone. Papa Smurf, yeah.
Well, you know. People know that you're a big time. There's too many things to do. It's not difficult to respond to a tweet.
Well, listen, getting back to the actual topic at hand, which the last caller alluded to, and that was the tight end position. And you got to go back to the Giants' track record at that position. And I know we get a lot of calls all the time about how, you know, you need that name guy at that spot. But the Jake Ballards of the world, the Kevin Bosses of the world, and the Larry Donnells of the world, within this system, they
Daniel
have
Fells
thrived.
Last year.
Correct. So I think that the Giants have a very strong track record in place that you don't necessarily have to go for the home run at that position. If you can give a guy an opportunity, he takes full advantage of that. Certainly these players can be productive. At the same time, you want depth like any other position that, God forbid, somebody gets hurt, you have somebody else that can slide in. And last year, you brought up Daniel Fells, John, and I think that's a great example because you had Donnell, but don't overlook the productivity that you also got out of a veteran like Daniel Fells, who was completely out of football in 2013, came back, was given an opportunity in training camp, took advantage of that, and was also an extremely productive player. And a lot of teams around the NFL right now are playing two tight end formations. So when you say, well, this player doesn't jump out to you as an elite blocker, that's why you have another tight end in to play that extra offensive line position so the one who is a stronger receiver can go out and run those routes.
For example, I promise you this. When the Seahawks line up in 1st and 10 next year, Jimmy Graham's probably not going to be the only tight end in that football game. Just saying. He's not
going
to be that
really going out on a limb
blocker.
There.
No.
Yeah.
No. Don't think so.
Well, personally, I'm hoping Luke Wilson gets some opportunities. Guy with a great name. You don't want to see him all of a sudden be benched as a result.
Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson. He's the other tight end.
I understand, but why is that a great name?
Well, I was relating to the movie theme here, but apparently that went right.
No,
over
I didn't realize you were such a big Luke Wilson fan.
I never said I was a huge
Wilson. Are you a bigger
really
Luke Wilson or Owen Wilson fan? Which Wilson?
Well, it depends. I like movies from both.
Well, which one do you like better?
A great
Will you
film.
Commit to something?
I can't because I think it's about right down equidistant. I think Luke Wilson's an underrated actor.
Get
how about that? Is that
guts.
Fair? Is that fair enough?
Underrated.
He's underrated.
Actor.
He's in the shadow of his brother, Owen.
He's in the shadow of
is
his
Is that
brother.
Not a fair statement?
I don't think he has a lot of acting range.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's underrated. He hasn't gotten that opportunity to start, similar to the Seahawks tight end.
I'm sure he's been brought in for auditions. I'm not sure
how well
those
listen,
went.
You
for
can
the,
speak to his agent
for the
and
seriously,
we can dedicate the rest of the program
for the serious so. Luke Wilson dramatic role.
You look at his level of movies. He's diverse. It's not necessarily just comedy.
What was that, You, Me, and Dupree? That was Owen Wilson, right?
That was Owen Wilson, yes. Correct. See, you're mixing up your Wilson brothers. There's
He's
three
also
of them, by the way.
Who's the third one?
I don't know the name. The name escapes me, but there is three. I can guarantee you that.
Well, that was a tangent then, no tangent. So.
Yes.
201-939-4513.
Well, you haven't given your answer. Who's your guy?
I'm honestly not a huge fan of either one, to be quite honest.
See, so you escape the question, and I go right down the middle. So you can see, we're both giving definitive
answers. See, I would have to almost go Owen Wilson, because I think my favorite movie that any of the two have been in, it has to be Wedding Crashers.
Okay, I would agree. That's definitely one of my favorites.
I would say because of that movie, not necessarily because I thought Vince Vaughn was actually funnier than Owen Wilson in that. But I think if I had to make a choice, I think I'd pick him simply because of Wedding Crashers. And I liked Old School, but I like Wedding Crashers better.
Wow, Old School is tough to beat, though.
I liked Old School. I liked Wedding Crashers better.
Okay. I like both of the movies, so it's hard to argue from that standpoint.
Steve in Staten Island gets to bring us back to reality. Steve, what's going on?
Yes. How we doing, Steve?
Hey, Lance, how you doing? Johnny boy, what's going on? Johnny boy, how are you, man?
I'm good, Steve. How
well,
are you?
Steve. Boy, you're amped up today.
Listen, come on. I mean, if you even consider yourself a half a Giants fan, if you're not pumped up about this season coming up, then honestly, don't even bother calling a program. That's what I say. I got to ask you now. I'm hearing about this here Shane Vereen, and I got to tell you something. I'd be honest with you. I think that would be a phenomenal move based solely on the fact, and I'm going to throw this name at you, and I know you might say yes and no on it. He could be very, very similar to your next Dave Meggett in a sense where you remember what Dave Meggett did, okay? This Shane Vereen fits that bracket.
I agree.
And I like it, and I see it, and I saw a lot of it when I, watching what he's done, Shane Vereen. I got to tell you something. I think he fits the bracket of a Dave Meggett because he's your scat back. He's the guy that's going to chew up yards. He's going to spell your Rashad. He's going to, you know, spell Andre Williams, you know, and he can catch passes. And if you go set up a screen, that's the one you want to set up the screen
and
with.
Steve,
you know,
I will say this.
I think, got a defensive question
yes,
for
Steve,
you.
Yes, Steve, I agree. I think that player comparison is a good one. In terms of their overall skill set, the one thing that Dave Meggett did that Vereen hasn't done in the NFL is do the punt return stuff, which and the kick return stuff, which David Meggett did with the Giants, obviously. But I think in terms of their ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and be a playmaker in space, I think that's a pretty darn good comparison, to be honest with you.
Listen, you know what? I hope it happens. But listen, I got to get now on the defensive side of the ball. It's definitely true. Right, Roll signed with the Bears.
That's pure speculation. I think it's still a rumor. I haven't heard anything official on that front, to answer your question, Steve.
Okay, because I would hope, and honestly hope, that somehow, some way, between the organization and Antrell, they could come up to a happy medium, because I tell you, I would hate to see that guy go. And you guys know, Johnny, you know, I'm a big Roll fan, because I told you, I look at him, and I see throwback. I mean, that guy, and listen, they weren't playing for much or nothing last year. And that guy was trying to get that team going like they were fighting for a playoff spot. And, you know, I respect, like I tell you, Johnny, I respect the guy that wears his heart on his sleeve and gets out there and gives you 60 minutes of hardcore football. So I'm hoping, you know, his wishful thinking, whatever it may be, I'm hoping that there's a happy medium reach with these guys, because I tell you, to lose a voice and somebody like him, who I think now under Spags is going to thrive, that guy's career is going to be elevated under Spags. I hate to see it, you know, go south and he signs with the Bears or any other team for that matter. But listen, I got to tell you guys, I love your show, Lance. You're Pez Johnny. I love you, bro. You're the man. And keep us pumping with this Giants information. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks for taking the call, brothers.
Thanks
All
for
right,
calling, Steve.
Steve. Thanks
I
so much for the phone
it.
Call.
He's pumped up.
He is absolutely pumped up. I think I'm ready to hear some more calls. He's sort of set the tone moving forward.
Let's
Don't
see if Crispin Bayonne can
Absolutely.
Continue that tone. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Johnny Boy and Lance, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. I realize, by the way, it's funny.
Another guy who's psyched up about the free agency.
Yeah, go ahead.
I heard something last night on WFAN, which I thought I'd bring it to your attention. Do you
sure.
know Larry Donnell was on that airline plane that skidded
yep.
at LaGuardia?
Yeah. And luckily, him and all the other passengers on that plane
yes.
were
yes.
absolutely safe.
Yes.
And by the way, it's very scary. If that plane slides another 30, 35, 40 feet, they're right in the water. So thank goodness that worked out okay.
Yeah, absolutely. My neighbor here from Staten Island just stole my thunder a little bit. But I do like the guy. I think he's going to be fabulous. But as far as a kickoff and return guy, the rumors are that Dwayne Harris is coming to the Giants. And boy, oh boy, he's a real return specialist. And you know what? Maybe we found the guy. Last year, and the year before, we didn't find anybody in that category. I think he could be a good fit. And the linebackers, there's rumors that J.T. Thomas and this guy Casillas from Jersey City, New Jersey, may come to the Giants. And there's rumors that it could be a little bit interesting in the linebacker core with these guys. And, John, they're all under 30 years old, these guys, these five guys. The Giants are thinking about bringing to the Giants. They're all in that 27 age area, okay? And, you know, there's an offensive lineman they're looking at, Newhouse, who could probably knock out maybe Brewer or Brown. They're saying he played, started five games for Cincinnati, played in 15 games last year. And it seems like all these free agents the Giants are thinking about bringing in aren't real great big numbers in their contracts, a true Jerry Reese kind of free agent. Lance, I think you'd agree. And there's still some money left over here to bring maybe another big guy in here. The way it's looking right now. With that, I'll let you guys talk about these free agents, and you're really doing a good job. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, I appreciate it, Chris. And I just want to hit on something you mentioned about Dwayne Harris, the player. And again, the Giants have not made any signings official yet. Nothing is official. Nothing has happened yet. There is no ink to paper. So I want to stress that first. But in terms of Dwayne Harris as a player, and Giant fans have a lot of experience watching him playing for the Cowboys against the Giants, and he's been a pain in the rear end, to be quite frank, over the past few years. And you talk to people about him, and everyone says the same thing. He's a football player. He's a guy that'll do the dirty work. He not only returns kicks and punts, he's also on all the coverage teams.
He's the gunner.
Punt,
yeah.
Gunner. He does kickoff coverage as well. He's a physical player. He's one of the best blocking wide receivers in the league. And I frankly think that wherever he ends up, that he can have a much bigger impact in the passing game than he had with Dallas, only because Dallas had so many other weapons, whether you're talking about Terrence Williams, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, Cole Beasley they just re-signed, DeMarco Murray, obviously, that they didn't really use Harris as a weapon in the receiving game as much as they could have. And I think wherever he ends up, they're getting a heck of a football player, they're getting a physical guy, and somebody that I think has underperformed as a receiver because of a lack of opportunity, not because of a lack of skill.
Well, and here's the other thing, as you mentioned, once again, it's pure speculation, given the fact that he doesn't have a great deal of experience as a wide receiver, meaning on-the-field experience, it also means he's got a lot of legs underneath him, too. So, you know, he hasn't been out there for X amount of snaps as some of the other players in the receiving core that the Cowboys have showcased, as John and I just listed. So, you know, I think that's somewhat of an asset, depending on which team lands him. And, you know, as John hit on, when you look at the name Dwayne Harris, everybody points to the fact, return guy, return guy, return guy. But he's also a player that is up there in terms of special teams tackles.
Oh, yeah.
He actually led Dallas in that category this past season with 18. So there's a great deal of versatility that a player like that brings to the table. I wouldn't necessarily categorize him, John, as just a one-trick pony, if you'd like to utilize that term. There's certainly more to his talent pool.
And we have some news we can announce. The Giants have come to terms with two of their own, Henry Hanoski and Mark Herzlich. So they will be back next year. Henry Hanoski obviously won the fullback job from John Connor last year. Wasn't used a whole lot in the offense. The offense is more of, you know, not terribly fullback-centric, but he played an important role in the running game last year. And then Mark Herzlich is back, a good special teams player, one of the team's best special teams players the last few years. And he actually played his best football on defense, playing outside linebacker last year rather than playing middle. So Mark Herzlich and Henry Hanoski will both be back with the Giants in 20-15. They have come to terms with the team. One more phone call before you say goodbye. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, Pally?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff. How are you, pal?
Doing well,
good,
Jeff.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. If some of these signings do come to fruition, I think there's a couple of guys we can get a little juiced up about that were signed yesterday, being the running back and the kick return guy. However, my question was I wanted to know how this guy Newhouse, the offensive tackle, graded out on Pro Football Focus. Could you look that up for me? As I heard, he wasn't too very highly rated.
I can look that up for you and see what it says there. Hold on.
Okay. All right. Well, hang up and listen, guys. You guys have a good day, okay?
All right, Jeff.
I can
thanks
appreciate
for the phone call.
And again, just want to stress that I know the rumors are out there that these signings are done. They are not. But I can tell you, Pro Football Focus on Marshall Newhouse did not rate him well last year. They had him as a negative 11.6 overall on his grade. Let me see if I can get into some more details here on exactly how it was in terms of run and pass as I try to bring it up here. Here we go. More specifically, last year Marshall Newhouse played 389 snaps for the Cincinnati Bengals. I mentioned that overall grade. He was a better run blocker than he was a pass blocker, according to Pro Football Focus. I would say significantly better. So if you want to break it down, that's how you break down Newhouse. And remember, he has experience with Ben McAdoo in Green Bay as well.
And he has experience at right tackle and left tackle.
And left tackle, correct. Yes. He plays both sides.
He was used on both sides. He also was with the Bengals last season, and now he is currently a free agent. Cincinnati brought him in to provide some depth for Andre Smith at that tackle spot, and he ultimately actually wound up starting because Andre Smith suffered a season-ending injury. If you want to squeeze in a few tweets here, John, before
we
wrap
up, right ahead,
there's one that I think is related to the Giants roster, and Johnny Hedden at JPHedden123 brings up a player that has not received a great deal of chatter who is on the Giants. A lot of people are forgetting Bennett Jackson. I think he'll make a solid slot corner this year. Bennett Jackson, who was the seventh-round pick for the Giants last year, he was put on the practice squad, then he got hurt. So he did not have a great deal of an opportunity to hone his craft, but Johnny's 100% right. It's another player, added depth, out of Notre Dame, comes from a good program, and, you know, Another caller earlier was bringing up Kevin Ogletree, and this gets back to the fact that you can never, John, have enough depth in the National Football League. I don't know how many times to say this. If you want to bring in an extra corner, you want to bring in another wide receiver, it's not a bad thing because you want to foster competition and you want to be able to prove that these guys are durable. And unfortunately, you know, the Giants have been hit with a number of injuries over the last few seasons.
At cornerback.
The last season.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, when you see the Giants bring in an extra player, that is an extreme positive. You want to be able to make sure that when you put that 53-man roster together, you have the top five or six players at that position. And that is the goal for every team. But when you look at the depth that the Giants are going to have on at corner this season specifically, assuming everybody comes back healthy, remember, DRC and Prince at least penciled in as your starters. And then behind that, a lot of players who got experience last season. So assuming everybody stays healthy, the goal is to have that depth chart in place as the Giants envisioned it heading into last season when they were very aggressive in free agency and they brought in a number of names who certainly gelled well with one another when they had limited time on the field.
Absolutely. Any other tweets you got there?
Well, that was the one that certainly jumped out to me. I mean, clearly there's a lot of speculation and chatter on Twitter regarding some of the rumors and so forth that people have been hearing outside. And as John and I mentioned, nothing official from the Giants' standpoint.
Actually, one a call earlier, I forget which one it was, brought up Nick O'Leary from Florida State. And never actually got to that.
The tight end, correct.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'3", 250. He's a guy that some scouts think will be more of an H-back than an inline tight end. When he gets to the NFL, he was used on the line and in the backfield as a blocker in Florida State, so he can certainly do that. He's not the best athlete in the world, though. He's not the guy that's going to go out there and, you know, run down the seam and catch that, you know, Jimmy Graham 35-yard pass down the field. If I was to make a comparison, you know, maybe a poor man's Anthony Fasano type of player, which, you know, is a good, solid role player on a team. So that's kind of what I see and how a lot of people see Nick O'Leary coming out of Florida State. Figure I'd at least give that nugget. One of the callers did ask about him, and we kind of skipped over that and didn't touch on that.
Well, and I think a lot of it just related to the tight end position. If you recall, John, and we talked a lot about the tight end prospects last season because there was so much talk and chatter and speculation about Eric Ebron, who ultimately was drafted by the Detroit Lions. And, you know, a lot of people, the experts who cover the draft, tended to say there wasn't a great deal of depth at that position. That's why a number of the tight ends weren't going to go early. I think you could certainly throw out some similar thoughts on that position this season. But then again, I always go back to the fact I think the Giants right now have depth at that position, and they have players that are coming off very productive seasons. So, you know, if you were to evaluate and say, is this a top priority? I think the Giants right now are in very good shape at the tight end position.
Everybody, good job on the phones. Excellent job on Twitter. Lance and I will be back with you tomorrow on Giants.com for another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Maybe we'll have some more news we could talk about as well. Only time will tell. We'll see what happens in the next 24 hours. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Great job as always. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Enjoy your new NFL league year as free agency continues.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a kick on punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown.